coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's inspiration station. This is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
Welcome and good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. How are you all out there? It's a little foggy out again. It's the craziest weather. I think it just gets us ready for going back to school.
It's back to school weather.
You don't want to. So anyways, I am so glad you all joined us here today. We have Jeannie back in our studio.
Good morning.
Who's been at in Vegas for a week.
Relaxing.
God, not fair.
I know. I was really
cha-ching,
hard to get up.
Cha-ching, 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 right? Did you have fun out there?
I did. I love doing nothing. It was really, at first I was
worried
about.
Who doesn't like doing nothing?
Well, at first I didn't think I could.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I can't do this.
Like turn your brain off, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I turned it off. I didn't study my piano. I didn't do anything. I just, relaxed. And you know what? I needed that.
Sometimes we all need that. All right. And we've actually got David Snyder in here. And welcome.
Good morning, Kim.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good.
Good. You said you kind of had one of those weeks, right?
Well,
we're going to turn around right now.
That's right. That's why I'm here.
Okay.
Kim Pagano Turnaround Show.
There you go. That's what it's all about. It's all about mindset and, knowing that you can turn your day around anytime. We got Boomer on the board here.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going? We only got you for a little bit longer and you're going to college.
It's winding down here, my stint.
What are you doing your last couple days to get organized? Your last week even, right?
Well, my mom has been doing a whole bunch of stuff in the yard.
The honeydews that you don't ask your husband to do, you ask your kids to do.
Yeah, and my dad's in China right now, so I get, tasked with redoing our pool. So, of course, my mom wants to redo all the grass in the backyard and getting all the sprinklers done. I'm going, oh, my God, I have so much to do. And
perfect
so
timing
you
since you're
wait.
Going, right?
Right, yeah.
You really want to go to school.
There you go. Now, aren't you going to miss all that?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to miss home. Home is home.
Home.
I've lived there probably about 1.5, so that's basically my entire life that I remember. So
yeah, but it's really good to be able to know that you have a really good base to come home to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably come home with, as soon as the pool's done, which will be the weekend after Labor Day, I'll come back and go swimming in it.
Oh, good. Christen it.
Yeah, we'll have a party. Mary, are you listening? We're having a party.
That's right, Mary. I'll be
over
every morning.
That's the designated pool people, We had parties forever and ever until,
We're going to have a pool party as soon as we get everything finished.
There you go. All right. Well, and in fact, this is the last couple weeks of, pool parties.
That's right. It's coming up.
I know. You have kids going back to school too, right?
I do. My daughter's going back to Cal State Monterey on Friday. I'm taking her up there. Yeah, the kids are getting ready for high school now. They've grown so fast.
I know. It's like, where does that time go?
Blink your eye.
Yep.
It's gone.
Gosh. And, it's crazy. You have to really be, it's funny. I don't know why. The last couple nights I've been where you wake up in the middle of the night and you kind of go, God, how did I get here? I'm saying that it just goes by so fast. My kids are all older now and, pretty much everybody's doing their life. And, it's all just. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Very crazy, very hectic too.
Yeah.
I at nights I'll often be sitting there thinking of the next day, all the zillion things that not only I have to do, or not only what my wife has to do, but all the things the kids have to do, and how our schedules mesh.
Right.
Mm. And difficult, busy.
It seems like both of you need to go to Vegas and zone.
Well, if anybody is, if it's your first time listening to my show, I'm so glad you're here. And, I want to give you our phone number here at 805-639-0008. And if you have any questions or you just want to be a part of my show, I love it. Be a part. Also, you can find us on Facebook at The Kim Pagano Show. And also, you can Twitter us at Kim Pagano Show. And also, you can look on my website for any of my past shows, because there's so many things that I hopefully, you know, can add value to your life every day in every way. And so I try to bring guests on that talk about their journey or talk about their expertness of, you know, helping your life so that you don't have to have a problem that hopefully you have to repeat. If somebody's already done it and they've already, you know, gone through it, let's make it easier for all of us. Mm-hmm. That's what our world. I met with a couple of really great people yesterday, and you know, I want a shout out to Lily, who is Empowered Bookkeeping, and she's going to be a sponsor of our show. And great. Let me just tell you, you know, it's like if you have all your stuff organized, you know, it just makes your life so much easier. And that's one of the reasons I have David Schneider on. He is an attorney, and he talks about living trust. And that's something that, you know, I just had a dear friend of mine, and if you're listening, my heart goes out to you and your family, and I love you, and I know that you're going to get through this. But, you know, things happen when we least expect it. We think we got, you know, life going on and everything's good, or even if you think life's hard and boom, it gets harder. And so you want to make sure that you have all of your I's dotted and your T's crossed.
Well, you know, it's a situation where if you can take care of all these little things, if you can get them done and off your board, off your control board, you know, in boomer's language here, then you have the ability to then focus on these other things. Also, when the unexpected comes, it's not such a shock, and you have the time, you have the resources and the energy, because you haven't been mired down in all the other muck.
Right.
Also, you're not that worried. You've got so much to be worried about when a tragedy or unexpected thing happens to you. You are locked into that moment.
Absolutely.
And you just don't have time to deal with all this other baggage. And then the minute you think about it, you're really overloaded.
Right.
So.
It becomes your sole focus, whatever that current catastrophe is.
Sure.
And, you know, I often will talk to people that will tell me, oh, well, you know, as soon as I get through this project, or just as soon as I finish this thing, or as soon
as I'm done
dealing with mom or dad or whatever the case might be. But there's no guarantee that you're going to be done with anything.
Right.
And then furthermore.
And sometimes you never get done.
That's exactly
the next
point.
I mean, that's really it. You really never, because it's like the next thing in life. Life just keeps happening.
Life is happening. There's always something on the burner, always something on the front burner. So in my opinion, anytime that you can get some of these middle burner, back burner things just off the burner, then you have a more clear focus on the present issues that are in front of you.
Well, you know, I kind of live my life like a mountain. I just keep chipping away at it. You know, I kind of write my list, and then, you know, the next day if I didn't get some of my stuff, that goes to my top of the list, and then I look at my list and priority, you know. And so, of course, I have an appointment with you. Now I realize how many people like myself put those appointments off, because I'm looking at, oh gosh, okay, so what do I have to get ready to come in? So that's something I really want to talk about, of what, you know, what it is that we have to get ready. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a really quick break. And stay with us, because we've got a really great show. We're going to be talking about what the difference between a will is and a living trust, because that's a big point, right?
Huge point. Huge huge part where people are often very confused.
Right. So that. And then we've got David Harp coming on, and he's going to be talking about mindfulness to go, how to meditate while you're on the move. That would be me. I'm like, do you have 2 minutes or less? Because that's, you know, and that's all of us, because sometimes we just don't take the time for ourselves, especially a lot of moms out there that, you know, or women, I don't know what it is, but we put ourselves last on the list. And, you know, I went and saw that movie, Help, last night, The Help. Have you guys seen it yet?
I have not, no.
Oh my gosh. Talk about, well, we're going to be talking about that. And if anybody's seen that movie and they have a thought on it, I want to hear your opinion. So give us a call, or Facebook or Twitter. And you can call us at 805-639-0008. I want to hear what you thought of The Help. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We're going to be talking to David Schneider.
Join us at the Lewis Music Academy this summer and let our family teach your family to love music. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, violin, viola, and cello. We also have a perfect cure for the summertime blues with our rock and roll summer camps. And for your adorable MIDI music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 5. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. Mention KKZZ and you'll receive a color upgrade at no additional charge. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at 653-0791 or email us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/thekimpaganoshow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone. We were just talking about The Help, and if anybody's seen it, it's actually out in the movies right now. But it was actually back in the 1960s and set in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And there was an interesting part because it really saw the inner emotions of people and husbands, you know, how they really took care of your needs, mm-hmm. and yet they weren't given credit, you know, mm-hmm. And really kind of talked down to. So it was really interesting.
Oh.
It was, you know.
Also, I was just thinking when you said it shows your raw emotions. I mean,
it does show your,
even if you have someone live with you now, or a, you know, somebody cleans your house twice a week. I mean, they still will see when you and your husband, they'll see a reaction. And I mean, there's a lot of like maybe secret things you want to keep there too. You know, I don't know. You have to think about that. You know?
Yeah, there was an interesting part, and I'm not going to ruin it for everybody, but there was a part where one of the maids actually got back at them. You know, and let me tell you, it's like you got. I thought about it because I'm thinking, wow. You know, you don't realize that you got ears, and you know, a lot of times you think, oh, they don't understand.
Mm. Yeah, there's somebody always watching.
They really do understand.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
Gosh. Anyway, so I think it would be it's a good movie. It's a good movie just to
keep everything in perspective.
Yeah, it kind of looks at life again, you know, all those things. I love the underlying message. So anyways, well, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Jeannie, and I got Boomer on the board, and I've got David Schneider in here, and he is an attorney in Thousand Oaks, and a great attorney. He's got so many great things that he can offer you. I referred you with so many people, and you know, before anything happens, really, I urge you to give him a call and give out your phone number.
Well, I'm at 805-374-8777. And as always, if you call up and say, hey, I heard you on the Kim Pagano Show, give you a free, no obligation consultation, an hour's worth of my time or more if needed. $275 an hour, it's a pretty good deal.
It is a good deal. Mm-hmm. And really, you know what? It's the deal that you need to have for your life so that you can sleep at night. You know, it's funny. I talked to Marcia that was on here, and she's like, really? You don't have, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of families grow up thinking, like you just said, your husband's father didn't really mm-hmm. think he needed one.
No.
And okay. yet, you
big
know.
Big myth out there, I think.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like an alarm. People right. don't think they need it.
They never need the alarm until it happens. And then right. they say, oh, I guess I better get an alarm.
yeah. So I well, think that you want to take care of something like that before. Because you know what? I heard this. It's kind of sad when you look at it. But no one goes out alive here, right?
That's right.
you know?
Yeah.
And,
death and
so,
taxes.
Yeah. That's so right. we really need to kind of make sure that we have all those things taken care of.
I want to make sure that you know that you are a trust lawyer, right?
That's absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. The primary practice or primary focus of my practice is on estate planning. So the majority of my time is spent helping individuals or couples with their estate plan. And
that's great.
A big chunk of my time is spent in probate court for those
oh,
families
God.
That have not properly planned.
Yeah.
And for anybody out there that doesn't know what probate is.
Well, probate is the sector of law that deals with wills, trusts, conservatorships, guardianships, things of that nature. Everything is handled through a specific court called the probate court. As an example, if you go to get a divorce, you go through family court. If you're having a bankruptcy, you're in bankruptcy court. Or if you're convicted of a crime, you're charged in criminal court. So probate court handles all of the areas of law dealing with wills, trusts, people that pass away.
Speaking of probate, there's always a question that I think everybody has. If you're married and say you have the one child.
Mm-hmm.
If just one of the wife or husband passes, is there problems for the wife? Does she have a probate problem or does that automatically revert to the wife?
Generally speaking, here in California, there's usually not a problem on the death of the first spouse because in California we have what's called community property.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the majority of us have our property, we share it with our spouse, and when one passes, the property moves over. If, however, the spouse that passes away, that's called the decedent spouse, mm-hmm. owns separate property, mm-hmm. or, in fact, if they are the second to pass, that property does not pass automatically to the child. It generally has to pass through a probate proceeding.
So you're saying if both mom and dad, unfortunately, have a horrible tragedy or whatever, they're gone, and the one child is there, then he would have a probate problem?
That's exactly correct.
Oh,
and what you often see, particularly with married couples, if you've been married a long time, it doesn't have to be a long time, but elderly
a year,
couple,
right?
it could be a year, but you know, you see an elderly couple, they're in their late 70s, early 80s, and they've spent a happy lifetime together. The first spouse passes away. The second spouse generally will pass relatively soon to the first spouse because there's a big hole in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, then what happens in a situation with the children, it doesn't have to necessarily be children, but in Jeannie's example, with just one child, there's often this thought, this idea, well, everything's going to come to me. There's nothing I need to do.
No, it just goes right to my kid.
Yeah, well, that's correct and incorrect mm-hmm. both at the same time. Yes, it will all come down to the kid, but if the kid wants to realize the property, if the kid wants to sell the home, wants to get into certain bank accounts, all of these things are going to be presented with just a ton of legal problems, and that's what the probate court is there to sort out.
Even though you may have them on there as, what do you call them, like a signer?
Beneficiary,
I think you would have a problem, right?
It depends on the bank, and it also depends on how the kid is listed in the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be shocked to find out how many bank accounts don't list beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Even though you tell them?
Well, it's not so much whether the bank is listening or following your instruction.
It's whether you've
told them,
right.
whether you understand the concept mm-hmm. and have listed the kid properly.
Mm-hmm. So, David, what is the right way to list them?
Well, first and foremost, you really would rather have your whole plan as part of a living trust.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can have the trust own the account. The trust owns the checking account, owns the savings account, it owns the brokerage account, it owns your house. All these things are combined in the trust, and now all the administration after you pass or should you become incapacitated can be handled just by your trustee and without any court intervention. And that mm-hmm. saves literally tens of thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But that's kind of, now that was brings up another question that my mother-in-law had always been, the only reason she was against trust is because if you, say, have four children or five, let's say five kids, and you have to appoint somebody, either a lawyer or one of the children or some close friend, as the trustee. And what she didn't like was that trustee had full power, where the other people involved, her children, would not. And even if it was just the one child, that person has full power.
Well, there's a couple of points to that. First of all, your trustee does have the power to act, but the trustee is also under a fiduciary duty to act in the best interest of the beneficiary. So the trustee does answer to the beneficiaries, the other siblings in your example. But let's say, as an example, you don't have the trust and you just use a will. You're still going to have an executor, and the executor is going to have those powers. The executor is going to have to answer to the beneficiaries. Or let's say you have nothing at all. And then we have to go through court. We're going through a probate proceeding, and the court is going to appoint an administrator, one person that's going to have that power, one person that's going to have that same fiduciary duty. So the idea that, well, I can't have a trust because I have five kids and I can't decide who to list,
right,
really doesn't hold water. It's just
so
pushing the problem down the road.
So they cannot just sell everything without the approval of the other siblings?
They have to follow the instructions that are listed in the trust agreement.
So that's why we need you to
that's
make sure
right.
you get those
You have to have it properly written. But the point is that in that instance, assuming that all the children were treated equally, the trustee is going to sell the home. He's going to provide accounting. He's going to provide a breakdown of where the monies went, mm-hmm. et cetera, so that everybody is treated
now
fairly.
You said something also kind of I hadn't thought about before. If they just have a will, you know, like a lot of people say, well, I'm going to write my own will, and I'm going to say everything goes to my son. Well, I can see a lot of problems not even being a lawyer. Like maybe the date of the will, how it was worded.
In California, it's very, very simple to create a will, and you could literally grab a cocktail napkin, scratch out, you know, I, David Schneider, leave all my property to Jeannie, and that's a valid will here in
Jeannie,
the state.
Jeannie, aren't you glad you're here?
The problem is, and this is something that people really don't focus on, and they should, is that a will is a probate guarantee. People write out wills. They think, all right, I have a will. There's not going to be a probate proceeding. They are 100% wrong.
So they still have probate.
They still have probate. What happens is probate occurs any time that you die and you own property in your own name, and that property is greater than $100,000. Now, here in California, that's very, very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple to die. Very simple to own property in your own name, and of course to hit those
values.
So
the will is just a guarantee, like you still have to go through the probate to prove, well, here's my will, and you still have, no offense to lawyers, but you've heard of lawyers that say, mm-hmm. well, can't do it on that calendar date, I've got to go to a vacation, or I've got another trial, I've got another probate course, and they could be dragged out for years.
Well, a typical probate here in California runs about 18 months. Now, if you were doing it strictly by the code, and at what we call warp speed, you can finish one in about 7.5 to 8 months. But typically they run about 18 months. My worst case scenario, had a probate case a few years back. There were about a $10 million estate, mm-hmm. and there was seven different lawyers involved, and the thing took 3.5 years.
And each month you have to keep, you're retaining your lawyer. I mean, they're retained.
Well, it depends on the type of an issue. It can be that way, but most probate attorneys like myself, we're simply paid according to the probate code. There's a flat fee that's based upon the gross value of the estate, and we get paid at the end.
Oh, okay.
I just got a text from somebody, is there invalid wills?
Certainly.
So what would make it, I guess that's what they said, is if they have a will, how would you know if it would be invalid?
Well, a will has some specific requirements. It has to be signed in the testator's name. That's the person who wrote the will. Or if the will has been typed out, it's not written in their own hand, it has to be signed and then witnessed by two independent witnesses. Those are persons that are not going to be the executor, not going to be the beneficiary mm-hmm. of the will.
So, and do you have to get it notarized?
No, wills in California are never notarized. Now, some wills in other states are notarized, but in California, they are not notarized, just signed in front of witnesses. Another way to invalidate a will would be a claim that the person creating the will, the person we call testator, that person that's created the will is incompetent at the time that they created the will, or they were acting under an undue influence acting in a way other than what they would normally do.
I can see a court case now.
I know. In fact, you know, I just want to let everybody know you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to David Schneider. We're talking about living trust. And, you know, we're trying to get all your questions out so that you will feel comfortable to give David a call.
Please
and
do.
Get yourself, you know, one, you get a $275 discount, right, just for being a part of my show.
Just for being here.
And not only that, you will have better nights sleeps, you know. It's like one thing that if you, you know, if your family, maybe, you know, I always say we're all learned, you know, we do what our family's done, but maybe this is the time to really make sure your family has been taken care of, mm-hmm. and that you can sleep at night.
That's true. So if you have any questions, make sure and give us a call here at 805-639-0008.
And also, you know, okay, so I have another question. If you say somebody passes away and you're inherited some property.
Okay.
Okay. One, how does that work?
Well, first of all, the property depends on how it's going to pass, whether it's going to pass by way of a probate proceeding or pass by way of a revocable living trust. If it's through the trust, all the trustee has to do is create a deed to pass that property to you. I'm assuming you mean real property, real
Correct.
Estate.
Real mm-hmm. estate.
Then the trustee just creates a deed to transfer the
Wait,
property.
Wait, what other property would you, you're saying like a ring or something like that?
Well,
or?
It could be personal property, could be a brokerage account, let's say, stocks, bonds, things like that. Mm-hmm. So in this case, if it's a piece of land, the trustee would just create a deed to send the property from the Smith Family Living Trust to Kim Pagano.
Got it.
Now the property is in your name, and you in turn would retitle the property into the name of the Pagano Trust. But if there's not a trust involved, if we're using as an example a will, the executor cannot just give you the real estate when the person passed away. Got to go back through that probate proceeding again.
Even for that.
Even when you have a will.
That's kind of good.
I mean, yeah, no, it's...
That goes back to what I was saying. You would not want your executor to have so much power that, you know, that could create problems.
Well, it's a trade between whether you want to have the executor have that power or the trustee. If you let the trustee have that power, it's going to be infinitely cheaper.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have Jean on the line who has a question. And Jean, thank you so much for calling.
Hi, Jean.
Hi there. I just wanted to know if it was advisable to put IRA accounts into a trust.
Absolutely not. Mm. You never put any tax-deferred assets into your revocable living trust because that makes them immediately taxable. And then they're taxed at a flat rate of 35%. So tax-deferred assets, IRAs, 401Ks, 403Bs, tax-sheltered annuities and the like, are all held outside the trust. We use beneficiary designations so that if you pass away, we know where they're going to go. And then we also encourage you to have a durable power of attorney for asset management to help manage that IRA in the event that you become incapacitated. So you never want to have those assets as part of the trust estate. Bank
Thank
accounts.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bank accounts,
Thanks
checking
for
accounts.
Confirming that. Is this a law that would be different in Arizona than in California?
No, it wouldn't, because these tax deferred accounts all have to follow federal laws, federal taxation laws.
Okay.
So
the reason I brought it up with a friend in Arizona is that her attorney insisted that everything should go in the trust.
Mm.
Well, that word, everything in the trust, that phrase, everything in the trust, that's kind of a catch-all.
Yeah, including her IRAs.
Yeah. No,
oh,
that's
I'm glad
incorrect.
You called.
That's incorrect. An IRA has to be tied to your own Social Security number.
Okay. Mm. Thank you so much.
You're
well,
welcome,
thank
Jean.
You for listening. I appreciate it.
Yes, I enjoy your show.
Thank
great.
You so
that's
much.
Neat.
All right. So, thank you again. What I wanted to ask is, okay, so you have inherited property and then people are living there.
Okay.
That's a huge, you know?
Yeah, this can also be a problem. You have a piece of property and your third daughter is living in the property and you pass away and now the property is supposed to be split between the three daughters, but that's the one kids living in there. What do we do? Do the other sisters kick her out?
The other
what
two
want
to
That
sell
seems
it,
like
right?
a huge
exactly.
family fight right there. I could
comes
see
up,
it coming.
Comes up all the time, but with proper planning, the parents can state exactly what they want to have done. I want my daughter to be able to live in that home for life. I want her to be able to live in that home for 3 years, 5 years. I want her to pay rent. I want her to pay a percentage of the rent.
But it's instructions by the
exactly from mom owner. And dad, mm-hmm. so that now sisters, while they can of course certainly be unhappy that they're not going to receive right. their inheritance immediately, there's a clear set laid out foundation, laid out mm-hmm. rules to deal with this particular issue.
That makes sense. Good. You know, my parents had just a cookie cutter. They just went to a seminar and somebody said, you need a trust. So they weren't wealthy by any means, but they went and got the cookie cutter trust. But I'm telling you, my sister and I got along. We had a half-sister and that we did not grow up with. So there could have been problems, but all of us were pretty nice. We didn't have problems. But I can tell you the word trust, oh, my God, it was like the golden key. Huh. There was no problems at the banks. There was no problems. Whatever we needed to do, the insurances.
Because your parents did their homework.
Yes, and the actual everything was listed in that trust, like whatever bank accounts they had and... I can't tell you, the banks tell me, thank God she had a trust, because if not, we wouldn't be talking to you right now.
That's exactly correct. It happens. It happens every single day in my practice.
You know, it's such a simple thing. I mean, and here we are. That's one of the reasons I really, you know, we live life kind of on the edge already.
All the
and
time.
Yeah. And so here's something that you can do to get it. You know, it's funny. We talked about this before, putting our responsible list so we can go play.
Responsible list. That's right, from our Monday shows.
Yeah. And this is something that you really want to take care of. Mm-hmm. You know, what are other things that you think that would be things that we need to take care of? You know, I mean, I know, you know, we have to. So when we come in, we have to have our deeds and all that stuff, right?
Generally speaking, I tell people when they're going to come on in, first of all, I'm all about just getting them to come in and get started. Mm-hmm. So generally, they don't have to bring any paperwork with them. Just, you know, bring their story. And I let clients tell their story. I want to hear what you have to say. And through that, I can find what areas are of concern, what are not of concern. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, you weave your story and I will weave a plan to fit that particular
family
story.
You'll give them
story.
A list. This is what I need.
Well, generally speaking, there's not a lot that I do need in order
really?
To create the plan, because we're going to put your home or your real estate, your commercial properties into the trust. I'm going to help get your business into the trust. But there are some things that you will have to do on your own, which I will teach you how to do, which is how to talk to the bank or how to talk to your brokerage account or your broker or person to get your assets transferred or retitled into the trust. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I don't need to see all that paperwork. You have pretty much everything I need right up in your head.
Oh, that's scary. You know, but that's good. Now, you know, with the recession right now, okay, people are, you know, thinking about how they're just trying to keep their house and hold on to the things that they've already had. Do you still think it's important to have this in place?
Absolutely, because as you alluded to earlier, there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. They're both coming, regardless of whether the market is booming or the market has fallen. We're all here on a leash. We're all here on a short amount of time, and that clock continues to tick, whether the economy is hot or the economy is cold. Your properties, they may not be worth what they were worth 2, 3, 4 years ago, but and in large measure they'll come back, but the problems still remain. If you have an estate plan put into place, you've spent a small amount of money today to get everything right, to get it all off the back burner, front burner, wherever burner you had it on. If you don't have that plan in place, I can assure you, you are going to charge your family tens of thousands of dollars in wasted legal fees. Now that's a term I don't use very often.
Wow.
Wasted attorney's fees. You're going to waste quite literally tens of thousands of dollars. That's not a smoke job. If you come to me and you get a revocable living trust, we're talking about a couple of grand for a complete estate plan. If you have to take an average Ventura County estate through probate, you're talking about legal fees. Just the legal fees alone are probably going to be in excess of $18,000. Now, it depends upon who's administering the estate. Depends on what the costs are for appraisals and publication, bonds, everything else.
So it could go up.
Oh, it very easily can be double that number. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, you know, 20 times the amount. Mm-hmm. And none of the peace of mind that comes with the work that I do.
Like I all said, right. The word trust is the golden key.
How does that word, where did it originate from, a trust? Is it that you trust that we've done our job? Did you trust that we, you know, what is that?
Well, what I was told, now this goes all the way back into law school, first couple, yeah. 2-3 days of the wills and trust classes, is that it comes from the fact that you're appointing somebody to administer.
So you're trusting them with your...
You're placing that in trust. You're working. Kim Pagano is going to be the trustee of my trust. So,
did you guys hear that?
No. So I'm placing my trust, my estate, my family care in her hands.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You know, now I have a question. Let's see. Okay. So does a living trust have to be notarized?
Living trust is notarized.
It is.
Yes.
When you do it, that's notarized.
That's right.
It's not a living trust until you do go through a lawyer and it's...
Right.
It's got to be notarized.
Well, you know how you can get those ones off like the internet or that kind of thing?
Even if you were to download a trust off the internet, which I would not recommend, but even if you were to do that, in order for it to be valid, it has to have certain particulars. And one of those is, of course, to sign it in front of a notary. The notary is guaranteeing that the person who is signing the document is the person that they say they are. They've presented proper identification. And then the notary witnesses their signature of the document, then places his or her stamp on the document.
So I just had another text. I'm glad people are texting in their questions, you know. And I know it's hard to call in. It's like public speaking, but really, we won't hurt you.
No.
We're gentle here.
Jean's
at the Kim Pagano Show.
Good.
Jean was terrific.
Exactly. But so if you have a business, but you haven't yet have a, you know, property, should you still have a trust?
Absolutely. You know, as an example, I spoke to a gentleman the other day. He has a contractor business, and he said it's just him and his wife, but they have a corporation. And what do I do with that? Do I need to put that in part of the trust? Yes, mm-hmm. That's just another asset.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether you own stock in IBM or you own stock in
McDonald's,
or whether you own stock in Kim Pagano,
right?
It's still property.
So anything that you own that can be taken away from you, that makes you money, that has value,
mm-hmm.
you need to
most
have
everything.
A trust.
As an example, with our caller Jean pointed out, IRAs, tax deferred assets, are not inside the trust. But otherwise, yes, all other property that has value, real estate, personal property, financial assets, all need to be part of your trust estate.
Okay, gosh, it's so valuable. I mm-hmm. hope everybody was listening and really took down this information. And again, if you have any questions, you know, throughout the rest of our show, you can always call here at 805-639-0008. Well, I have David cornered in my studio here.
Happy to answer.
Yeah, David, also give out your phone number again.
Give me a call.
And your website, too.
805-374-8777. You can also get some really good information on my website, which is www.drs-law.com.
And also tell them that you're going to be giving, well.
Oh, well, here you go. If you're a listener of the Kim Pagano Show, call my office. Say, hey, I heard you on the Kim Pagano Show, and I will give you a free consultation. That's an hour of my time. My hourly is $275 an hour, free hour of my time. And as well as I'll give you an extra discount. I'll give you an extra bonus there. For a discount on having your complete estate plan done.
Oh, remember that when I come in.
Absolutely, I'll remember.
Remember that if I could get my husband in there.
There you go. Absolutely. Hey, maybe if we do it, then you'll be able to do
that's
it. So,
right.
All right, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We've been talking to David Schneider. Get your living trust with him. Get your peace of mind and give him a call. And get your discount with The Kim Pagano Show. Our next guest is David Harp, and his book is Mindfulness to Go, How to Meditate While You're on the Move. That's me. I'm on the move. So with that, we're going to take a really quick break. Stay with us. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. Give us a call, and we'll be right back.
Do you ever feel like school gets in the way of your time with your children?
Wait, what do you mean? Doesn't everyone have their children in school all day, then fight with them to get homework finished in addition to everything else that needs to be done?
You must not have heard about Somas Academy Charter School right here in Camarillo.
What is Somas Academy?
Somas Academy has changed our lives. I'm so sorry I haven't shared this with you sooner. Somas Academy is a public school which is aligned with state standards and allows me to school my child on our time, giving us much more time for our family.
I'm not a teacher. How do you do this?
Trust me, I didn't think I could do it either. At Somas Academy, I partner with a great supervising teacher who guides us through the educational process. It's been so successful for us. Not only that, Somas Academy offers individualized learning for kindergarten through 12th grade, friendly teachers, park days and field trips, on-campus enrichment days, and specialized teachers for classes and labs for high school.
Wow. That sounds like a great fit for our family.
Call Somas Academy today for more information at 987-1188, extension 100, or visit their website at somas-academy.org.
Hi, George Thompson here, and you have a friend in the diamond business. Here at my jewelry factory and diamond outlet in Camarillo at the 101 and Las Posas off-ramp in the Target Center, we can save you up to 75% off regular retail jewelry prices. How can I do this? I personally go to the World Diamond Cutting Centers in Israel, Bangkok, and Antwerp to get the best buys on loose diamonds. I have built a jewelry manufacturing factory in Bangkok, Thailand. I've hired world-class goldsmiths and jewelers to cast our gold, set our diamonds, and create the finest quality jewelry. I eliminate the middlemen. People think they can get better jewelry prices by going to one of the clubs or the malls or on the internet. But none of them make their own jewelry. They have manufacturers like me who supply them with their jewelry. That's why a half-carat diamond anniversary ring that's $1,590 at Macy's is only $395 here at George Thompson's in Camarillo, right off the 101 in Las Posas in the Target Center next to Staples.
Why go to LA's Wholesale Jewelry Mart when you can get your diamonds factory direct at your friend in the diamond business? George Thompson in the Target Center in Camarillo.
Welcome back, everyone, and you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008, and we are going to actually, it's David Day today. Now we have David Harp coming on, and his book is Mindfulness to Go, How to Meditate While You're on the Move. And we were just talking to David Schneider, and if you still have a question, feel free to give us a call. We've got Boomer on the board at 805-639-0008 if there is a question that you have in regards to your living trust. All right. So, David, are you there? How are you?
I'm well today, thank you.
Great. Are you meditating right now? I thought so.
I just did. I took one breath, and I focused on my in-breath and my out-breath, and now I'm not embarrassed to go on after the other David, and I feel prepared to talk to you while I'm looking at a picture of your lovely face on my computer.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So tell us a little bit about what a great little book. This is like a little book you can just kind of stick in your pocket and go all the time, right?
Yeah, that's the idea.
So meditation in motion. And so what does that exactly mean?
Well, just to define the terms, in case some people aren't familiar with mindfulness or meditation, mindfulness just means knowing what your mind is full of, mindfulness, at any given time. So it means that you are aware of your thoughts. You notice your thoughts and you don't let them control you. You gain more control over them by being mindful. That's the state of being mindful. When a anger thought comes into your mind, you can say, oh, I'm having one of those anger thoughts. Yes, I can see how this goes right back to my childhood, but it's not skillful for me to act on it right now. And I'll tell you in a moment how you cannot act on a thought that usually is very grabby or compulsive for you. Meditations are the exercises that get us to the state of being mindful. So mindful is the state we want to achieve. Meditations are the exercises that we do. It's like if you wanted to achieve the state of being a really good baseball player, you would do exercises like throwing and catching and running and strength training and studying strategy of baseball and so on. And that would get you to the state of being a great baseball player if you put enough energy into it and time. And mindfulness is the state of knowing what your mind's full of and being able to control it to a greater degree than most people have. And meditations are the exercises that build what I call the mental muscle that allow us to be mindful.
Wow, David, really nicely said.
I like that. You know, that makes me feel good because sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and my mind is so crystal clear. I can't sleep, but I'm just relaxed and I can think of things like I'm taking piano lessons, haven't for years, and I was doing all my scales for the first time perfect. I said, wow, this is so cool. I hope I can do this in the morning.
Right, but there are times that you are crystal clear, and then there's times that you just, your mind's going 100 miles an hour, which, you know, what my girlfriend says all the time, Prudence, mm-hmm. you have too many ducks up in the air, you know, mm-hmm. and you've got to kind of center yourself, right, so that you can be mindful.
Yes.
So when you're going too fast and you've got too many things going on, how do you center yourself back out?
Well, basically, there is one strategy that works for just about anything, and that's the one I used a moment ago. I focused on my breathing. Mm-hmm. If we can learn to focus on our breathing, we can learn to short-circuit what are called fight or flight responses. Mm-hmm. And the fight or flight response is a very ancient physiological response. It's built right into the back part of your brain, sometimes called the reptilian brain, and it goes back to the dinosaur days. You got your little dinosaur sees the big dinosaur, he says, oh, I'm scared, I gotta run. He's got the big dinosaurs tromping around on his own turf, and another big dinosaur comes onto his turf and says, oh, I'm gonna fight this guy, he can't do this to me, he can't come on my turf. So the fight or flight response is built into just about all living creatures, and it's very useful in a real life dangerous situation. But human beings have this other more modern part of the brain called the cerebral cortex that generates what we commonly call thoughts. And so let's say a thought of, oh, no, kid number three is going to be in trouble again. I just know it. I'm going to get home, and I'm going to get the report from the teacher or my parents or blah, blah, blah. Or the economy, oh, my God, the economy. And we trigger a fight-or-flight response in our own mind just by having a thought about something. There's not an instant immediate danger like the big dinosaur or the little dinosaur or saber-toothed tiger chomping on your arm. But we trigger this very, very powerful response that causes our blood pressure to go up, causes our digestion to stop, causes all of our energy to go into our muscular skeletal system so our muscles tense up. And this is great if the saber tooth is chomping on your arm and you're trying to whack him on the head with your stone axe and run away, but it's not so good if you're just thinking about the stock market.
There you go. You can short, especially lately, you know, right?
That's where all of our thoughts are.
That's
yes,
it.
I figured that would be so for you, David, as a
an attorney,
planner.
Yeah.
So by focusing your attention, if you can force yourself to turn your attention on your breathing, for 2,500 years, all the major religions of Buddhism and Christianity and Judaism have used breathing focus as a method to enhance prayer and to center oneself. So that's basically what most of the meditation exercises are, training yourself to focus.
You know, that's probably why you see, like, even I'm going to relate to music again because that's what's coming to my head, but you'll go to a concert or something like a pianist, and you'll watch them. They'll sit down. They come relaxed. And a lot of times they just don't take a giant breath, but they take a breath and they just focus, and then they're off. And then that's what's on their brain is what they're going to play for you and bring you into whatever emotions they're trying to portray. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Just taking just sometimes one mindful breath, just noticing the in-breath and the out-breath is all it takes to recenter yourself, because that short circuits any fight or flight responses.
Yeah, and David, a lot of people don't breathe.
No,
I've noticed a lot of people say that, you know, you're hardly breathing, and we're thinking, well, how could we live if we're not breathing? But we're taking really shallow breaths, right? Instead of deep, relaxing, you know, breaths, right?
Yes. Well, my other passion, aside from working on my own meditation practice and teaching people to meditate who think they can't meditate, is playing the harmonica.
I love it. And you definitely have to breathe for that, right?
Yes.
Wow.
I've taught more than 1 million people to play the harmonica, and I use it in my mindfulness work and some of many of my workshops that I do for corporations and nonprofit groups. I do it for hospice all around the country. I teach people to play harmonica in a group, because when you're playing harmonica in a group, everyone has to be breathing in and out at the same time, or it sounds awful. And so I teach people to do that, and it forces their attention onto their breathing in a very pleasant and natural way. And then it's also easy to get people to breathe from deeper down in their stomach and take really nice full breaths. I talk about this in Mindfulness to Go, about how we can breathe really bring the air down into our stomach and then our chest rather than just breathing shallowly from the upper chest.
Right.
And this oxygenates us better, which is stress-reducing in itself. I mean, everyone knows if you're not breathing well, if you're underwater and fighting your way to the surface, that's a very stressful situation. And if you have a bronchitis or something or asthma, that's incredibly stressful. So I have a program I'm working on now for people with asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and so on, using the harmonica to reduce the stress around breathing and to try to help them breathe better.
And I
also have a harmonica yoga program where I teach people to stay focused on their breathing while they're doing yoga. But the mindfulness to go, the whole concept of that is just that mindfulness and meditation don't have to be something that's separate from your life. You don't have to go to the Himalayas for a year or two. You don't have to sit on a cushion for an hour three times a day. You can build it right into whatever you're doing, whether you're walking or working or driving, or even if you're in a difficult interpersonal situation with somebody, you can turn half of your attention onto your breathing in and out, and you'll still hear what they're saying, but you won't be allowing it to trigger your fight or flight response.
All right. David actually has a question for you.
You know, David, I'm glad that you were just talking about that. I have your book in my hand. I'm flipping through it here, and looks like it's very, very detailed and yet very easy all at the same time. But here in Southern California, I was just wondering, you know, where we spend so much time on the road. We're in our cars all the time, and often we're in that car. We're in a hurry. We're running late. Or somebody gets in front of us or cuts us off, and is there an easy, you know, maybe not simple, but an easy simple trick that you would point out to us that we could do in our car? We don't want to lose focus on the road. We don't want to lose focus on what's around us, or even when we're in the car listening to the Kim Pagano show. But what could we do in the car very, very quickly?
That's a great question, David. Thank you for asking it. When you're driving, my first driving meditation in Mindfulness to Go, how to meditate while you're on the move, is just to focus on your driving. In other words, anytime a thought comes into your mind that is not pertinent to driving, turn your attention back to your driving. Imagine that you're in the Le Mans 500 or you're going around a racetrack at Thunder Road, and when you're doing that, if you're a race car driver, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, yes, in my acceptance speech when they hand me the trophy, let's see, how should I start out? No, you'd be pinwheeling down the road or crashing into somebody else. You wouldn't be seeing, ha, my ex-wife is in the audience. This will show her. Of course not.
You know what? You're absolutely right. You'd be concentrating on what you're doing, which would make you mindfulness, right?
Yes.
Put you in the now.
And it builds mental muscle.
Right.
So the first step is while you're driving to stay focused only on your driving. Allow your eyes to be aware of where the other cars are, possible dangers up ahead. Oops, there's some kids playing with a ball on the side of the road. I'm going to be even more careful when I go past them. Oops, there's a blue, red and blue flashing light behind me. I'd better slow down. Listening for the sound of a siren, listening to the sound of your car running smoothly, noticing your speed, feel of the wheel in your hands, only the physical sensations that are appropriate to driving. Anytime a thought comes into my mind, I'll say what I do. A thought comes into my mind, okay, when I get to my next appointment, when I drive there, I've got to find a space. Oh, no, it's hard to park there. I'm going to be late. Mm-mm. Turn my attention straight back onto the driving, the road in front of me, the rear view mirror, who's behind me, quick glances to the side, and so on.
So you just keep bringing your thoughts back to concentrating.
Yes. You know, bringing your mind, it's like making your mind heal.
Right.
I have a new puppy. My old dog died at a very advanced stage. We have a new puppy. And as I did with the old dog, I go walking in the woods. I live way up in the woods. And sometimes when I'm walking with the pup in the woods, the pup will run off and she'll try to flush a quail or find some moose poop to roll in or do this or that, and that's fine. But some of the time I say, pup, come here, heel. And I make her walk with her nose to my hand for a little while. And it's not because I really care about her walking with her nose to my hand at this particular moment in time during our walk. It's that I want to be able to trust that if I'm in town with her, I can have her heel, and she won't go run over to fight with another dog, or she won't dash across the street and get nailed by a garbage truck or anything like that.
Right, so you just keep checking in with her. You know, we only have a couple more minutes here, but I know there's a couple questions I want to ask you. What is mental muscle?
Mental muscle is the same thing that I'm teaching the dog building the doll up in the dog so that when she hears me say, heel pup, she brings her nose to my hand. Mental muscle is the ability to force yourself to turn your attention onto any particular object, which usually is going to be your breathing. You're at that important meeting and you're starting to get stressed out and it's not going the way you want it to go, and you can feel yourself getting either scared or angry, and being able to force yourself just to focus for one or two breaths in and out. That's mental muscle.
Okay, and one other thing, when everybody says that they want to be present, what does it really mean to be present?
Being present means not paying attention to your thoughts instead of the real life situation. So if I'm sitting here thinking, well, what am I going to say to Kim next? I'm not listening to what you're saying now. If I'm thinking of, gee, that question David was really good. I knocked that one out of the ballpark, by golly. I'm not.
David, how many people do you talk to? Do not listen. I mean, you could be talking and you think that you've got their attention, and the next thing the words come out of their mouth, I'm like, well, were you even listening to me? You know, they're just not present. They're not.
No.
They're somewhere else in their mind.
We can either live in the future or the past, or we can be present. When we're thinking about what's going to happen or what we're going to say, we're living in the future.
Very true.
We're thinking about what happened or what we said, we're living in the past.
Right. We call that future tripping, right? We don't want a future trip. David,
yeah.
This was great. We are talking to David Harp, and you are a behavior therapy and trainer and author of Meditate While on the Go and Mindfulness to Go, right? And where do we find your book?
You can get it at Amazon. You can get it at your better bookstores. It's the publisher is New Harbinger, and they have a website, newharbinger.com. Probably most people would find it easiest to get it through Amazon. And if people are interested in my work, I'm easy to find, too. I'm www.davidharp.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much, David, for being a part of my show. I love what you're doing, and I'm going to take some time to breathe.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim, and thank you, David. And is it Jeannie?
And Jeannie. That's
oh,
right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
enjoy. You. And I hope you continue to listen. All right. Well, gosh, our show is done. And we have
so quick.
I know. You know,
one.
When you're having fun, you know, things just fly by. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you can listen again this afternoon from 3 to 4. And remember to give David a call. Get that one thing off your list, you know, your living trust. David, give out your phone number.
I'm at 805-374-8777. Get it off your list, then you'll be able to breathe.
There you go. See, I didn't even think about that.
That's
Jeannie,
right.
Thank you so much for being a part of my show.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad you're back from Las Vegas, even though you're not. All right. And, of course, Boomer, great job on the board.
Thank
and we only got a couple more, like,
I know.
What, one more, two more days.
Two more days after this.
Yeah. So, but I'm sure you're going to be calling in.
Kind of miss you, Boomer.
I know. Anyways, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, success comes from knowing that you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. So with that, you know, I always kind of tell my kids, if you're going to do something, try your hardest to do it. You know, I mean, really just do your best. What, it's not worth doing it if you're not going to try.
Right.
I've always told them that. You guys give it your best effort, reward will come.
And that is really true, because really hard work is what pays everything. With that, I want to say go do nice things for yourself and someone else. And, you know, if we touch one more person every day, will be a better world. So with that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.